Hello to all my Disco Posse podcast listening friends. My name is Eric Wright. I'm going to be your host. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Veeam Software. If you're looking for everything you need for your data protection needs, from the hyper-available data center to the hyper-available cloud to the always-available everything, make sure you back yourself up. I'm a longtime fan. I've been using Veeam for, goodness, as long as I've been in a career in IT, pretty much. So if you're everything from a small business who just needs to protect your local servers or a small cloud portfolio, or if you're running at an enterprise scale, Veeam has got everything for your need, whether that's just regular data protection, as well as always-on availability for complete business continuity. So check out the Veeam Availability Orchestrator and all the really cool stuff that was just released, including protection for cloud, etc. So go to vee.am/discoposse, and you'll get a little special entryway to get in there, and you can see what it is. It also lets them know that you came here from the Disco Posse podcast. So again, go check out our friends at Veeam Software. Go to vee.am/discoposse, and you can actually literally buy it on the spot if you want, but get connected and find out how to make sure that you are protected, especially in a time where this is ultra important. And speaking of software, if you are selling software, if you're building software, you're figuring out how to market, how to message, and how to connect with people to be able to tell your story better, then you need to get closer to people that are successful at doing this. And I'm very proud to announce the Velocity Closing 4-step guide to delivering extraordinary software demos that win deals. I've authored this book, and this is under Velocity Closing. So if you go to velocityclosing.com, you can actually download the book, get it right on every device you've got. It's got really good reviews so far, and if you want to review it, please do let me know. I'd love to actually feature your review on the site, so you can download it. It's a concise and simple guide that teaches you to better connect with people and deliver better software demos that tell better stories and ultimately that win you better deals. So make sure you go to velocityclosing.com, check it out, you can download it right now, and not only do you get a chance to download the book, but you also get access to the audiobook if you buy it through the site, and you get access to the upcoming 4-part course, which means a truly interactive way to learn the lessons from the book from me. So I hope you enjoy it, check it out, go to velocityclosing.com, and then let's get started. All right, now on to the good stuff. Today's episode features Rachel Jackson. Rachel is the founder of Tribal. Not only is Rachel the founder of Tribal, a new app which helps to create communities where we can truly connect people, both in person and online, through incredible stories. This is something that it was literally everything that I wish that I could do if I could create a real online community that's meant wholly and totally for good. She's doing fantastic things with her team and with the way that she's connecting people. She's also an Apache helicopter pilot and all sorts of other crazy stuff. You gotta check this out. Her personal story is enthralling. You're gonna be on the edge of your seat for this whole show. So please do enjoy Rachel Jackson from Tribal.
Hey, my name is Rachel Jackson and I'm founder and CEO of Tribal. And you are listening to the Disco Posse podcast. I'm so kind of keep to myself a lot of times, and so for me to be doing this stuff is outside of my comfort zone, but I think that's what being an entrepreneur is all about, right?
That's it. Well, I think that's the perfect setup, Rachel. We've been connected because of something amazing that you're working on and you're building, and it really is close to home for me because I'm a true believer in the power of community and what we can do to use it to create meaningful relationships. And it's when I kind of talk about what I love to do and what makes community as a phrase matter to me, then I got introduced to Tribal, and it was like you read my mind, and you're achieving something which we all like say we do, but you're building to do it and scale it, which is fantastic. So first, Rachel, let's talk about you, your background, and then how did travel begin?
Okay, well, so I guess we can start around the teenage years when my mom called the Army recruiter.
The story is incredible because we could do like 5 podcasts just on the chunks of your life, but let's start there. It's a perfect place.
Yeah. So I guess I'm what you would call a prodigal teenager of sorts. I was definitely headed down probably a not very good path, not making wise decisions. And my mom, at the encouragement of some of our church members, ended up calling the Army recruiter, which was single-handedly the best thing that ever happened to me. The recruiter talked me into joining, promised me travel, job, college, and, you know, fun. At that time, it was before 9/11. So, you know, the military was a great way to just get your education, honestly. I joined, I enlisted out of high school. And I met a friend in AIT who said that he was applying to West Point, the United States Military Academy. And I was like, I literally said, well, what's that? You know, like I had no idea. But I got interested and I went through the process with him and went and received through application and physical fitness tests and all this kind of stuff, what's called a command referral to go to the West Point Prep School. And then when you graduate from the prep school, you get an appointment to West Point. So that I tell people I snuck in the back door, the military academy, but very grateful for that opportunity. I thrived in the military. I loved the military. I loved the sense of community. I loved being a part of a bigger vision, purpose. I loved the discipline. I loved the training. I needed it all. So it was a very good thing for me. Let's see. I got my degree in physics and nuclear engineering, and then went to flight school and became an Apache pilot. So I guess that's, you know, I was headed down a completely different path.
Well, and this is what I like, just that alone is an amazing story. And what I think when I look at the military, and it's funny, we wouldn't often refer to it as a community, but I would think of it as like I'd call it a community of adversity, right? It's people who have a common vision, a common goal. You know, it's a patriotic goal. And for that also, thank you for your service and what you've done for I say the country. I'm Canadian, as you can tell by my odd accent. But so we have a military of about 17 people, and we may or may not have a rented helicopter. It's a little different up here. However, you know, my wife is actually American. I've got young kids who are American. So I'm definitely, you know,
you're interested in both countries.
I'm seeing the amazing sort of how much of a core of the American story it is. And it's amazing, you know, it's because it is just that, like, sort of community of adversity, folks that have not just getting together because, hey, we all like volleyball or we all like cycling. Like I got a cycling community. I've got a running community. This is people who are going out of their way to, you know, be prepared to take on difficult things.
Yeah. Well, what I learned, probably, you know, a lot of my life lessons have informed what we're doing in tribal. And if I look back on my time, I mean, I wasn't completely aware of it going through it, but looking back on it, you can kind of see how there's all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds who come together and we wear the same uniform. And so it takes away, you know, certain barriers when you kind of like, okay, hey, we're in this together. We're in the same uniform. And you start to get to know people a little bit more because of who they are, what they've been through. And you realize you have a whole lot more in common with them. And you're working side by side with people who you might not have ever known otherwise. And throw in the element, the fact, you know, our mission is life and death. And what really happens is that you end up developing a love for your fellow soldier. Not always. And sometimes it's a tough love. And sometimes you have the brother and sister kind of fighting or whatever it is, you know. But fundamentally, when you hear stories of soldiers giving their lives, you know, jumping on grenades or whatever it is, you know, like, yes, somewhere in the back of our mind, the reason why we joined was, you know, to defend our country and because we believe in freedom and want to help us secure freedom around the world. But by and large, we do it for each other. You know, we put our lives on the line for each other. And so I think, honestly, that's the most powerful thing when it comes to building a community is this idea of like, how can we connect each other in those local networks where we're, where we know each other more, you know, we've broken down barriers, we're pushing towards some common goal, but we're getting to love each other and serve each other, in ways that, that are super meaningful and lead to meaningful connections.
Was there something that you saw as kind of a working model that you chose to build into this structure, or is it that you truly said, like, I know this is, this can be done, and why the heck haven't people done it like this? I know it's here and we need it.
I mean, so we call Tribal the meeting network, you know, and it's really the whole thing. I mean, honestly, it's kind of the opposite of social networks. So, you know, social networks, there's a lot of good things that have come of them, but there's a lot of unintended negative consequences. And so, and we're not trying to get rid of social networks. I mean, they have their place, right? But we are experiencing now in our country and the world, really, this isolation and loneliness epidemic, which is leading to other epidemics like physical health epidemics, mental health epidemics, suicide epidemics, lack of meaning, lack of, you know, this, the, and at the root of all this is this lack of social connection. And so if you look at, you know, social networks and some of the constructs that have set them up, you know, some, again, some great things that have come from them. But by and large, when you're set to follow a whole lot of people, or, you know, and the rules of what gets seen is based on, you know, what goes viral and human nature. And, you know, you're kind of connected to people all over the world, but lacking a connection to those people who you can reach out and touch. You're missing wisdom, you know, this idea that anybody can publish anything and, you know, let human nature dictate what rises to the top. You know, we're missing some wisdom. So basically we just wanted to give people an area, a safe place, an alternative to where they could say, you know what, I just need to go and check in, as opposed to going to check out and scroll or whatever. I just need a place to go and check in. And so Tribal is the meeting network, where we bring together the meaningful things, the stuff that connects us in relationships into resources for hope, help, and purpose, and inspires us to meaningful action. And so that's what we're building. And so there's similarities to social networks, but it really, the difference between us and social networks, you know, is it comes down to this idea that we believe in leadership. So we're leader led. We believe in the power of a close network. So being able to, like, physically close network, with the emphasis on, you know, being able to reach out and actually have in-person conversations and encounters. We believe in storytelling and in our purpose, our values, our, you know, human values that we should all strive for, you know, and so it's kind of a curated content experience. So that's kind of the background, the difference, the history, a little bit between how we got it, came up with the meaning network.
Well, it's very important because you've called out very important things that are broken kind of in what we do and the behaviors, especially with social networks. One of my, so I actually have a mentoring platform that I've created, and primarily was to connect people to create more meaningful connections and better outcomes from mentoring engagements. And by finding other traits in which we can match people up. And I found that the most important trait was not that, hey, I want to learn, you know, how to do 100 pushups. So I want to learn how to program in C or whatever. It was, I want to learn from somebody who understands my values and who shares other the other thing is often the most important part than the thing, because I'm more likely to learn software from somebody who also plays guitar and who may really be into, you know, my kind of music or whatever. So that, that allows you to close that camaraderie gap. And like you said, you go in the military, you get lumped, you get just shoved into a classroom full of people. And it at that point, once you kind of get over the shock of what you're doing and figuring out a new system and a new way of behaving and living, then you're like, hey, so, you know, where are you folks from? Mm-hmm. And then then you really start to see that natural, beautiful order come up. But social networks are about, I can say funny things in 280 characters and I can get people to retweet them. And it's kind of cool. But it also, there's a polar opposite to that behavior, which is that when you don't get it, you pull further away and it impacts things, you know?
Right. Well, you know, social networks are designed to keep you scrolling. Their business model is to get and keep your attention and keep you wanting more. And they're good at it. They're very good at it, you know? And there's a book called Contagious, I forget the author's name. He talks about how the things that go viral or get attention are on either end of the emotional spectrum. And right. So the incredibly angry, divisive, bittering information stories or whatever it is. And then the incredibly inspiring or funny also go viral, you know. But the stuff in the middle, the stuff that connects people to hope and help and purpose, the stuff that really connects us to relationships. And did you know, I mean, the National Institute of Health did a study where they found that the number one source of meaning in life is relationships. It's not personal endeavors. It's not work. It's not faith, religion. It's not some personal challenge or community involvement. It is relationships first. And then that fuels all the other good stuff, you know? And so as we get hooked and we're scrolling and we're scrolling and we're scrolling, you know, I mean, we're just getting more lonely and isolated, and we read other people's stories and we judge our own by that, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so it really is a necessity to just, okay, figure out how can we meet people where they are, which is digital, but then reconnect them into meaningful relationships. And to the community involvement, the actual community involvement that I believe will change a lot of things that are kind of wrong. You know, we're at a place here in America right now, you know, where, I mean, there's a lot of things going on, you know, and I'm sure it's all over the world, but there's a lot of stuff going on right now, you know, and I think we have a huge opportunity to take the momentum for positive change and to do something structured, strategic, scalable, meaningful, impactful. You know, and my fear is that we'll squander that opportunity, you know, and that we'll, you know, it'll just go back to how it was, only worse, with people hating each other, with people scared and anxious, with people, you know, instead of being able to connect with leaders. And there's so many leaders. You are doing a mentorship program. You know, like, there's so many leaders out there who have a call in their lives to do great things. And if I can say anything, I'll say this: Tribal wants to be the platform for those leaders to help their voice be heard in their communities and with their people that they're trying to lead to some kind of meaningful action, wherever they are, whether that's at work, whether that's in the community through nonprofits and their church with their families, at school, wherever it is, we want to help those leaders who we believe are at war for the hearts and minds of their people to actually break through all the noise in the world and connect with, grow, and inspire their people to want to move and be a part of something meaningful.
It's amazing because it's such a core, like, it's just, it's like common sense, but yet we really struggle with embracing it and going to the simplicity of why we need to do this stuff, which is what I really adore, that you're taking this on and creating a way to achieve it, which is, you know, we can all talk and it's tough. And that's what happens, right? We go through these things. And I often tell people, they're like, hey, I have 6,000 friends on Twitter. I'm like, well, ask each of them for $5. You'll find out how many friends you really got. Yeah, you got followers, not friends. Mm.
And the social networks don't make money by giving you making you visible to them for free anymore.
And one of my favorite social networks, which I never really thought of it as a social network, is Strava, because it's got very limited engagement. It's very much people who are just cheering you on. And I'm never afraid to go on there and have a bad ride or a bad run and still post those numbers, because I know that people are there to be like, hey, all good. You know, slow miles are better than no miles. That's my motto, mostly because most of my miles are slow. But what we get from that is also then you connect with other people and you get them into that platform because they know, they're like, oh, I don't really ride much, I don't run much. And what I found was I can get people. And somebody replied to me and I post my runs on Twitter. And the greatest thing about that is not the people are like, yay, great run. Somebody who will say, wow, that's really cool. I wish I could do that. I only, you know, just ran like 3 kilometers today. And I'll just reply back and said, you know that 97% of the earth did not do what you did this morning? So you did it, dude. Like, that's fantastic.
You see, encouragement is so important. It really is, you know, cheering people on and being their biggest fan, you know, and that's awesome. Like, finding your community, finding your niche, finding your story, building your support structure, cheering each other on, holding each other accountable if that's what it is, you know, pushing each other to be better if that's what it is, you know. Unfortunately, one of the other things about some social network platforms, and there are a lot of different, I guess, like you said, I'm talking about like the big four or five.
Yeah, I'm careful to avoid it because of, like, Twitter's the friendly, we always used to say, like, Twitter is the friends, you know, LinkedIn is the friends you actually have. Twitter is the friends you want. Facebook is the friends that you wish would go away. But it was a weird progression that just the style of sharing is different. Like, LinkedIn is the professional network. And I truly, I find value as a business network in what I do there, but it gets weird about how people use it and misuse it because they're like, hey, I get requests all the time. And the first request is, would like to connect. And I'm like, I have an open policy. I connect with everybody, mostly because it's my broadcast network too. So I like say, accept. And like 13 seconds later, hey, really glad we were able to connect. I'd love to see how my platform can help you and your team to achieve a particular goal. What time's a great time to get together next week? And I'm like, mute. If I had a mute button, I'd be pressing it right now because it's, so there's misuse of it, but is it misuse? Because we've created that. So sorry, but you're right. Like, when we talk about the social platforms, I treat them as a collective group that each have their own good points and challenging points. I'll say, I won't say negative, but you know, we all know they are.
it's some unintended consequences, you know, allowing anonymity, you know, like, it's almost like, okay, we got to retrain people how to be civil, how to talk to each other, how to respect other people, you know, and like, it's just that any, you know, anything goes kind of environment nowadays. And I'm like, wow, even if I disagree with you, you know, I still want to respect you as a person, you know? So, anyways, but enough about the social networks. Just, we're not trying to get rid of them. We're just trying to give people a place to go where they can check in.
No, 100%. It's doing what part of why we use social networks. It's like going to that next level, what we really were after. And that's kind of the thing, you know, as they say, you know, if people get into sales, it said, you don't sell hammers, you sell the need to put in a nail, you know,
right.
And you sell it by telling the story that it's actually because, so your wife has asked you to hang this picture for 3 weeks and she's, you know, busting your hump. And so you need to sort that out. here's this beautiful hammer that can solve that problem for you.
yeah, exactly.
But it's the, what you described was good. Again, it's like, it always comes down to, you know, meaningful engagements and meaningful connections, because that, as we hone and narrow where we spend the most important time, it has to have meaning.
It does.
Otherwise, you're scrolling, and like, it's time in platform. That's what the social network cares about. Time in platform versus what are we actually trying to do? Connect and create relationships.
Yeah. Somehow it would be awesome if we could measure time with family time serving the community or whatever, you know, but you know, at the end of the day, we're personally accountable for which decisions we make, you know, and we just hope to be able to encourage and inspire people to put down the phone, you know, like, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, our business model is not based on us needing to keep your attention. So our business model is based on leaders of organizations paying for licenses. So we don't have ads. We don't have, you know, the need to keep people scrolling or addicted. You know, we want them to come in once or twice a week, check in, feel good, be inspired, move on, find a story of a coworker that they relate to. And you know, I still remember one of the best stories that I heard about one of our customers' employees using Tribal. And she said, you know, I'll tell you the number one reason why we need Tribal. She said, until I read Andre's story about him having an autistic child at home, I thought I was the only one, and I did not want to bring my burdens to work. I didn't want anybody to look down on me or think that I wasn't able to handle work. And so, but when Andre was brave enough to share his story, you know, she felt she could go and approach him and talk to him, and they became each other's support network. And then more than that, they ended up starting a support group for parents of autistic kids in the community. So this idea that, you know, stories connect people in relationships, and relationships move people to action. It's exactly what Tribal is wanting to do. So that's in a synopsis.
Well, I often describe, I said, my success is defined by the successes that the people I help achieve. It's not, you know, you've done it, right? You have now created a secondary network success because you connected people that ultimately created something that will then has this now potential network effect. And not network effect in the, like, you're going to grow at 10x per quarter, like, but literally, like, you can do something that has an exponential potential beyond what you did by the fact that you did that thing, which is amazing.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to be, is we've wanted to be a ripple maker, where, you know, we might not be the ones in the communities doing the hard work, but we want to help more people get off the sidelines and into the game, you know, by inspiring them and connecting them and connecting them to resources and to relationships.
Now, when you talk about you went through some troubled times, you know, finding your path, you know, however we want to describe it. And I think a lot of us have that. We're lucky enough that maybe we, you know, get sort of shoved in the right direction. You know, some of us ask, and worse is that some don't get that push that's needed. But what people need to hear, and I'll ask this, is it's not your situation is not what defines your choices and how you, like, we all have the opportunity to make great and difficult and bad choices. Mm-hmm. When you were given that push, you got a degree in physics. You became an Apache helicopter pilot. You founded a startup. That was there. And I think if anything, the most troubled teens are the ones that have the most potential. And they're just exercising it in a way that is not good. You were not broken in that you had nowhere to go, so you said, you know, screw it all, I'm just going to do make bad decisions. You had the incredible potential and you just didn't know it was there.
Yeah, I mean, I think every person has the incredible potential. you know, and honestly, like, I mean, there's things about my childhood. I grew up poor, dirt poor. My mom and dad divorced when I was four. You know, my mom's second husband was a bad person. You know, we moved a lot, a ton, you know, and, just, you know, at some point I started to, kind of just give into that preconception that this was my story that I was going to be living, you know, and therefore, but by the grace of God, go I, basically. I mean, I believe that I'm the product of a praying mother, you know, I was way too strong-willed for her. But she always prayed for me, and God uses the army as an opportunity to turn me around. And if I look back and if I had advice to give to other teens or other kids coming from some really hard stories, I mean, there's a lot of hard stories out there, you know, and we look at others and we're like, oh, if only I had their life. Well, you don't know that at all. And at the end of the day, what you have to do, even if your parents screwed up or you got dealt a really raw hand, is you have to say, you know what, this is my story. I have the responsibility for it, you know, and it's the end is not predetermined. You know, it's there's always hope. And, you know, when we were doing our prototype for this, we're doing a proof of concept for Tribal. And so we had this kind of community going, and I ran into this girl, I'll never forget her, at a restaurant that I used to go to like all the time before coronavirus. And it was really close to like a homeless encampment. And so I would talk to a lot of like homeless people here and there. And she was young, like 19. 20 years old, African-American, beautiful girl. And she was sitting there on the bench, charging her phone. And I said, hey, can I buy you breakfast? And so I bought her breakfast and she sat down and we were talking. She's telling me her story of how she was in the reserves and how she went AWOL and how she followed a guy to our city. And that he was addicted to drugs and homeless. And so now she's homeless, although she wasn't doing drugs. And you know, as soon as she told me she was in the reserves, you know, I was like, okay, now I have a leg to stand on here. I can, you know, yeah. The military component. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? This is not you. This is not, you know, you didn't join the reserves. I asked her what her goals were. She wanted to be a nurse. I was like, well, what are you doing to reach those goals? You know, like what? And she started telling me stories and I was like, you know, I get it. Your mom's rough. Your childhood's rough. Things are rough. I was like, but you don't have to go down this road. You know, you can turn this around. And what I did is I invited her to join our proof of concept, which at that time was called Authentic City. And she joined and she got plugged into a community of cheerleaders who like, you know, prayed for her, mentored her, cheered her on, and she turned her life around. She got a place to live, she got a job, and she got into one of our local community colleges here. And the last time I heard, she was still pursuing her degree and her and doing well. I would love to see that happen at scale and have a place where you can, if you met somebody today and you said, wow, man, you know, like, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, like, yeah, you're living on the side of the road, or yeah, your life is tough, or yeah, you're getting bullied in school or whatever it is. But come on, come join this tribe. These people will cheer you on. They're going to mentor you. They're going to coach you. They're going to be your advocates, your ambassadors, and you're going to be able to do great things. And I would love for the long-term vision of Tribal to be like, hey, you know, even if you're in a company or if you're in a nonprofit or if you're, you know, whatever it is, that you could invite people to join a tribe and that they could get connected to stories that let them know that there's hope, that they're not alone. Stories that let them know that there's resources in the community for them to take advantage of, and to relationships that empower them and cheer them on to move forward and become all that they can be. And I think that if we do that person by person, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, and city by city, that the world will begin to change. And that's what my prayer and hope is for Tribal, is that people would know that.
When it begins just that way, right? If you if you profoundly affect one life, you've succeeded in greater ways than anybody else, you know, or many folks haven't, right? And if you can then do it again, and especially if you can scale it, you know, and create that opportunity, that's and that's one of the things that I think we really miss, is that it's just small things that we can do, but when you live it and you bring that story, that's what it becomes. The thing that I tell people all the time is that, like what you described, like no one knows anybody's real story. You know, even I have a very public facing life. I mean, I have a podcast, I got a blog, and all this crazy stuff, and I do lots of very outward things. And people say to me all the time, they're like, oh, it must be great. You love people. You're an extrovert. No, you understand. I'm an extrovert by profession. Seriously, this stuff scares the hell out of me. And I flip. There's points where I like just a switch just flips and I shut down. And I'm like, I've literally walked out in the middle of like doing something. I'm like, I can't do it. And I walk away and I like, you're racked with internal monologue and imposter syndrome and all this stuff. And then you get this whole thing and someone, you know, you try and when you tell that story, the first reaction is usually, oh, that's weird. I thought it was so easy for you because you make it look easy. And like, that's it. That's it, right? I'd look skinny because I'm athletic. But that's not happening in that order. I'm athletic, which worked out to make me skinny. I was way overweight. I was unhealthy. I was doing all the wrong things. And I finally just found a community of people that shared that story. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have a personal trainer that was like, you know, perfect physique, doctorate in kinesiology. I'm like, no, I found a guy that also lost a bunch of weight riding a bike. I was like, let's go ride a bike together, right? You know, and that was what made me see that I could do it. And this is what we can do as people, as humans, right?
Right. Yeah. That's incredible. You know, and that's the thing is like, there's so many people who have stories and a lot of them, you know, sometimes what we get from like older, wiser, or just a lot of people is, oh, I don't do social networking. I'm like, that's okay. This isn't a social network, you know? Oh yeah. I'm like, well, listen, we don't need all of your stories. We just need some. And we need some stories with wisdom. And we don't need to know what you had for breakfast. That's okay. You don't have to share that. You know, like what we need is some, what I call story warriors, people who are, maybe they're afraid, but courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing, even if you're fearful. And so what we need are people who have been through something, who have found some sort of hope, help, or purpose in their story, who can turn back around and say, hey, I've been through this and I'm here to talk if you want to. And, you know, maybe you don't go into depth or whatever it is, but this idea that we who have been through something can turn around and say just a little bit, it serves as an on-ramp to the relationships. It's like dropping that pebble in the water and you just see the ripple effects, whatever it is, you know, and you don't know what's going to happen, but if you're brave enough to share something authentically, to share some part of your story, the ripple effects of that can be monumental. You don't know what's going to happen. And all we're called to do is to just impact the people that are around us right now. I equate it to going to the gun range for qualifying weapons. It's of course, you know, I'm prior military, so I take everything to that level. But you know, when you're going to qualify with your weapons, everybody steps up in a line, you know, and let's say you go to the gun range with your 9mm and you go up and you have your targets in front of you and your maximum effective range is 30 meters, 50 meters, you know, point, whatever it is. And you're supposed to stay within your right and left limits, shoot down your targets, and stay within your range, you know, and that's how you qualify. Then you go to the range with an M16, and you have a 300-meter effective range and an 800-meter point range, or area and target range. And you're still supposed to stay within your left and right limits, watch your lane, and shoot down your targets. Stay focused. Do that, you know. And then if you do that well and then you work your way up and whatever it is, then they give you an Apache. And it has an 8 kilometer in range with no left or right limits, you know. So, and you can work together with other platforms to extend your range even more. I say that to say that, like, sometimes we think that the big changes we need to make in life need to be really big, you know. But really, if you just look around you in your left and right limits and the people who are around you, like, what can you do right now today to say, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. Hey, this is my story. And I'm not here to tell you how to live yours or whatever it is, but this is just my story. And I'm willing to share it with you. And I'm willing to be in a relationship with you to cheer you on. And if you need help or if you want advice, I'm here, you know, and that's how we kind of earn the right to speak into people's lives. But the story serves as the bridge. It is the on-ramp. It is the organic thing, the natural thing that can say, hey, I heard your story. I'd love to talk to you, you know, and that, and so to us, we're looking for story warriors, people who are not afraid to give wisdom back and who are not looking to be famous because that kind of kills the whole authenticity vibe.
Yeah. That's the, it's a really, it's a tough balance too. And I often, you know, we talked about the idea in the tech community, what they call, you know, tech influencers. And I said, and I hate the term. I hate the personality. And I get wrapped into it all the time. People are like, but you know that you're a tech influencer. I'm like, no, you may call me that, but I'll never call me that. If it just so happens that that's what people see, then that's fine. But I don't give myself that title. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because at some point, once the influencer becomes self-aware that they're an influencer, they're now in the business of influencing, not in the business of taking it in and sharing their story, which just so happened to influence people. But it's hard. It's hard because there's a point where you're like, people get kind of fired up. Like we all, of course we love that inbound praise. And that's why I'm a fan of the Stoic sort of methods, right? Is that I have to take off the top and the bottom. You know, people always say like you shave off the bottom so that you get rid of negativity, try and reduce the negativity. And I say, well, at the same time, you have to reduce the positivity, right? If someone heaps praise on you, you have to just forget it. You have to get it out of your mind because otherwise you, number one, it goes to your head. Secondly, it also means that when you go to the negative, it's a huge trough now instead of, so if you narrow the band of your range of emotion, not emotion, but like, you know, praise and negative praise, you know, it's safer. It's just a safer band, you know, to work within. I always, now it's funny when you say about the range and like, I often talk to people who said, mentoring is giving you front side focus. That's it, right? This is, I'm not going to teach you how to do things. I'm not going to give you the thing. I'm going to show you how you can do the thing. And I'll show you how I did it. Until you get your own front side focused, right? Your ability to be able to put it in your sight, hit your target, and then repeat it. You know, it's, and by doing it repetitively, by doing it in a group as a community and sharing those stories, then people will hit those targets more and more. And then it becomes a positive loop where you're like, dang, I did it a bunch of times. This is cool. And now it becomes born into you. Like it's kind of neat to see that all come together.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're talking about that double-edged sword. I mean, it's human nature to thrive on praise, you know, like, and to, and I used to be pretty daggone full of myself. I would say, you know, I think most Apache pilots would acknowledge there
is kind of goes with the personality.
You know, I think we can all, if we're honest, acknowledge that we think we're hot stuff, you know, but the, or any, you know, it applies to a lot of different professions, a lot of different people, you know? And I had to go through a lot of humbling experiences and I hope And I pray that as people get a little bit wiser and a little bit older and a little bit more mature, you know, that we choose to start, like you said, like maybe find those people that you can trust who speak truth to you in love, you know, but who can give you the good and the bad, because nobody's all good and nobody's all bad, you know, but find that tribe, those people who can, who you are going to give a platform to in your life. The rest of everybody, you know, like as long as you can look yourself in the mirror, you know, okay, well, I'm just doing the best I can, you know, and I believe in the Lord and Jesus, and I'm a Christian, but, and there's something in the Bible where it talks about how I must decrease so that the Lord can increase. And that's a daily battle for me, you know? And so like, it's funny because when your team or whoever wants you to promote yourself or the company, you know, it's like, oh yeah, she's this and this and this, you know, and you're trying to fight this battle of humility and, you know, like, you know, it's this tension, but it's a good tension. And I think that God gives us our stories for a reason. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of them or try to hide them. You know, like, there's a lot of things that have come because of my story, but I can totally acknowledge that without him, I would have been in a completely different place in after high school, you know, if the Army hadn't been part of my story. So
you might have been on a bench charging the phone.
I might have, exactly. Isn't that crazy? And for us to judge others who are in that position, that when you said that, that just gave me goosebumps. I'm like, yeah, that's probably exactly where I would have been. And hopefully I would have found somebody, like, you know, willing to buy me breakfast and slap some sense into me.
It's amazing that we have to, it's really hard. Like, we have to make sure we center ourselves on that idea. And the way you tell the story and the way we share our stories, it doesn't need to be exposing, you know, and that's why it's good when you get people that can start to open up. And even the most great successes have some of the hardest stories. And you know, we look at stuff like, you know, the 12-step programs and Naranon and Al-Anon and such, and a lot of it is kind of built on, but really it's like outside of the steps and the methodology, when someone goes up to the front of that room and says, they don't tell you like, yep, doing great, you know, hadn't had a drink in a while, and this is the successful stuff that I'm working on. No, what makes people change their life is when someone says, I have everything to lose, and I made a choice last night that it was worth losing. Mm. And you all stop. Like, no one knows what it means to face those moments, but then they think that, like, you know, I'm here, I'm one step further. Right? You're like that guy that ran 3K and doesn't think he's worth it. Like, no, you know, you're further than you realize. And then by you sharing that story, and it's like, so those are the stories that are meaningful. It's not about like the wins and the celebrations. It's about adversity and going through those stories of adversity and then realizing, you know, obviously it's mighty healthy. And if you're on the other side of those stories, but it's inevitably the most powerful difficulties that will bring somebody through, and they, you know, they got to go through some hard internal discussions with themselves and with whatever it is that will get them through that. And whether it's spirituality, whether it's religion, whether it's their peer group, or whether it's just their own self that can pull themselves out of that moment and say like, yeah, I faced that moment last night too. And I didn't do that thing. So okay, let's do it again today. And sometimes that's the smallest thing that we can do, right?
Yeah, and the being a warrior looks different for everybody. You know, for my mom, who passed away in 2010, being a warrior looked like getting up. It looked like choosing to live again, to getting up that the next day, you know. And God was still able to use her in her story. It didn't have to look like anybody else's, you know, like her story could be her own to live. Sure, you wish some things would have been different, but in the long run, we're all here for a very short time. You know, the next day, you know, I my my favorite book is growing up was the Anne of Green Gables series. And one of my favorite lines in there was just like, you know, tomorrow's a new day with no mistakes in it yet, you know? So, you know, wake up the next day, you know, stop beating yourself up. But if you're somebody who has found hope, who has found help, and who has some wisdom to offer, you know, maybe consider sharing your story. Maybe not all of it needs to be shared digitally. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, we try to teach people respect for story because I think we've lost that. There's 600 million blogs with a new one created every half second, and people are putting their stories, their family stories, everybody's stories out there without thinking through the consequences of that, really. And honestly, your story is not your own. You got to be careful with it. You got to be careful who you trust it to as well. You know, you got to be a little bit strategic. There's some things that I will share with anybody, like I'm doing on podcasts. And then there's some things I will only share if I feel like, you know, we're in a one-on-one conversation and somebody needs to hear it. So have wisdom in that, but have a few stories that you're willing to share to some level that can open up conversations and relationships with others who might need you, who might need that relationship, who might need a mentor or an ally or a champion to cheer them on. And hopefully we can figure out how to do that at scale. And I hope that people listening will join Tribal. We have a Tribal for All or Tribe where you go to our website and you click on the Experience Tribal. You know, then come join and see what it's like. But we don't want people to just come and join our tribe. We want people to start their own tribes. That's the whole deal.
Well, and that's really what the value is that no one is alone in their experience. They're alone in their belief of their experience, you know, and the hardest thing that we have is, you know, going out and, like you said, sharing the story. And I mean, to my sort of very public life discussion before, right? People ask me, they're like, oh, you put so much of your life out there. Like, you have no idea. You know, like, this is, I put a lot of stuff out there just to kind of inspire, you know, some interesting, I want to see how people react to certain things, you know, mostly because life is a giant social experiment. I've got a background in behavioral psychology. So you do certain things just to kind of test the waters. But in the end, I'm careful with why I do it and how I do it. But it's like, yeah, you meet somebody and they're like, oh, I know so much about you. I'm like, you had no idea that most people don't even know that my wife and I are married because we both have very supposedly public lives that are individual. And I never wanted like our life together to define her individual life or my individual life. So her and Sorrell still bump into people. They're like, wait, what? you're married to who? Yeah.
Yeah.
but that's it. Like, so when we go into these communities and, you know, and that's again, you know, so Tribal is something that I think we all need because it's there. And if people can share their stories, if, you know, especially in the workplace, this is one thing that I'm always amazed by is that we have retention problems at every company. There's a fact, like there's not a single company that is not struggling at some point with keeping people. And partly it's because they haven't effectively connected them to others that are right there, you know?
Yep. People are far less likely to leave if they have a good friend at work.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention they're far more likely to be inspired if they find their work meaningful and the relationships they have at work are a significant part of meaningful work. So, I mean,
absolutely.
No matter what your job is, no matter what your field is, no matter what your industry is, you could make it more meaningful to your people simply by connecting them in meaningful relationships, support groups. It's incredible. So
one of the things a great book that I've read probably more times than I should, is called Principles by Ray Dalio. Look at that. There we go. It's beautiful because again, what makes it effective is that he shares his story up front and you're like, this man should not be sharing this information. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is, you think about, you know, what he faced that drew him to do this and to be very purposeful about it. And the one thing he talks about is, you know, meaningful work and meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. That's all you seek, right? And the other one that I use all the time, which I'd love to think I created it, but I lived it, was, you know, the ability to understand that it's better to seek the right answer than to seek being right. Mm. And 20-year-old me was like Apache helicopter. You like, goddamn right, I know the answer. I look at me, right? Like, I often say too, is that why peer groups and why peer communities are more powerful is because you can see the range of people involved. Because when I asked him, I said, what would you tell like 20-year-old you? And the real question is, what would 20-year-old you say to me? It would say, shut up, old man, I got this.
Yeah, that's true. My best friend told me one time when early on in my marriage, you know, she's like, look, you can be right or you can be married. So it was one of those things of like, okay, you can be right or you can be in, you know, friends, family, yeah. You know, doing something together and have grace and mercy and respect, give people their space, let people have their own stories and live them to the best of their ability and be there for them if they need you. And hopefully they'll be there for you if you need them.
That's it. There are stories that are out there, and I hope that people are inspired by your story and about what you shared. And thank you for this conversation. And this is amazing because it's, you know, if people don't get their butts in and at least take a look, and if nothing, take a moment to think about your own internal story and that how you can help somebody else. And maybe then when you hear somebody tell their story, you can dig a little deeper inside and find out that it could help you. And let's share stories. I love it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So, Rachel, so what's the best way if folks want to connect with you online through social media? if people want to get connected with you, what's the best way? Aside from, of course, going to tribal.
The irony of ironies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
LinkedIn. I prefer LinkedIn. You can find me there. Message me. Yeah.
And we'll have all the links to, you know, for folks to get connected. And thank you very much for sharing your story with all of us today. It's been a pleasure. And I'm going into my next meeting right now, and I'm going to be inspired. So this is the best thing we can do is just, you know, like I said, if I can affect one person, you've affected me and hopefully many of the folks that are listening to this right now.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thanks, Rachel.